As we look together at chapter 15 of the story, we learn about God's messengers. This is such an important part, chapter of the Bible. And in particular, this is a section of the Bible that some have jokingly called the black hole of the Bible. Because the Bible, you know, is not arranged chronologically, as you and I might think. It's thematically. There's history books. Then there are poetry and songs. And then there are the Psalms. Then the prophets. And finally, the New Testament. And if you can't see where the prophets line up with the history, well, it can get very, very confusing. So we're going to try best we can to help all of that be clear for you as we go through the story together. It's a great way to read the Bible and get the message that God has in mind for all of us. The message of not only our own earthly lives and how they fit in, but, I forgot to put my phone on silent here. I don't usually do this, but excuse me for just a moment while I answer this. Hello? Oh, hey, son. It's one of my kids. Yeah, what's up? I'm kind of busy right now. You want me to get a message to mom? Well, she's here helping me record this, but I really am kind of busy. So can I call you back? And okay, well, what's the message? Okay, I'll let her know. All right, love you. Bye. Wow, sorry about that interruption. I guess there's my reminder. I need to put my phone on silent in church. By the way, honey, one of our sons says we need to get something called bail bonds. I don't know. You're going to have to help me figure that one out. Seriously, though, not just the message, a reminder not to leave our phones ringer on in church. That message from my phone is really a big part of what God is saying in today's chapter. You know, a lot of us, we get a call on our phones. We don't quite recognize who it is, or we don't want to talk to them at that moment. What do? We let it go to voicemail. We may or may not listen. We may or may not respond. And you know, in the people of God in chapter 15 of the story, that's exactly what's happening. God sends a message, and another, and another. He sends these messengers because he loves his people. And yet, his love has limits. His love has to move forward with his plan to honor himself. And that's what we're going to look at today. That's where all of this comes through in such a powerful manner. And I want to look at it with you together. Again, seeing how these historical books and prophetic books start to line up with one another. So first of all, I think it's worth us noting that the Lord divided the nation. We saw that in the last chapter, right? Rehoboam one way, Jeroboam the other. 10 tribes going up to form Israel. Judah, along with a part of the faithful tribe of Leviticus, staying together in the south. God sent messengers. And the rest of the chapter of chapter 15 records God sending 9 messengers just to Israel alone. 9 prophets to Israel. We'll hear about prophets sent to Judah later on. But these 9 prophets from Israel to Israel are God reaching out. He's going to fulfill his purpose. He's going to bring his Messiah through the tribe of Judah. But he divides the tribes off. Why? Because they're sending the wrong message. Well, what do we mean by that? What message were they supposed to be sending? God had wanted his people. He called them his chosen, his treasured possession out of all the nations of the earth. God wanted his people then, and still wants his people today, to be those who would show others what it's like to be in a love relationship with a God who is grace-filled and loving to the 3rd and 4th generation. He wanted his people, Israel, the 12 tribes, to show and be a model community to the world of what it's like to live in a right relationship with the true grace-giving God. But they didn't do that. They're sending off a wrong message. And what is that message? It's a message of rebellion. It's a message of disobedience. that God doesn't matter. It's a message of half-hearted devotion and occasional worship when they feel like it. It's also a message of them worshiping foreign gods, pulled away day by day, month by month, God by God, other religion by other religion, so that their hearts and their ears and minds are very far from God. And so he can continue his will, his promises to bring into the world his son through the Messiah, through the tribe of Judah. God still works. And he sends these messengers to God's people. But it's true for them as it is true for us. Disobedience by God's people is the wrong message. Now, let me give you an example. If I started robbing banks, and there I was captured in the news on every night at 5, 6, and 10, my poster up in the post office, most wanted for bank robbing, and then came here on Sundays and acted like none of that even happened and just started speaking to you about God's love, there'd be a disconnect. There'd be a real problem with that message not matching up with the message of my life. That's what was happening with Israel. And it's what happens with a lot of us, more oftentimes than we would like to admit. Disobedience in Israel, disobedience in me and in you, it's always the wrong message. It's saying that the grace of God didn't really matter, that the death of Jesus Christ on the cross didn't really affect us, that the love of God really hasn't changed us, and we're centered around doing whatever we want to do. This is the sad situation that the Israelites were in. This is where they struggled, and this is why God sent prophets to the northern tribes to call them back. God sent those prophets. He sent 9 prophets over 208 years to call his people back. Though he could and would fulfill his promise and glorify his name by sending his son Jesus Christ through the tribe of Judah as a son of David, yet he still loved Israel, still loved all nations, and that's why he would send messengers there. It's not the greatest track record looking at these 9 messengers sent out through to 19 kings over a period of 209 years. Kind of ironic, that's reasonably close to how long our country's been along, 230 or so years, and here 208 years. And with these prophets, the rate of success, sadly, was very low. One we can look at is the irony of Jonah. Now, Jonah gets his own book. His name means dove. I once did a sermon called Jonah, the Dove Who Cried Foul. Because when God sent him to the right to go and proclaim to Nineveh, he went the exact opposite direction to the left until God turned him back. Do you know of the 9 prophets who were started in Israel? Those 9 prophets, only one of them got a positive result, and it was Jonah, ironically. He was sent to outsiders who, when they heard God's judgment, they fell on their faces. They changed their lives. They sought God's forgiveness. The Israelites, when they got similar messages, laughed it off, stoned the prophets, rejected them, and grew hard-hearted, even harder hearts, and farther away from God. The irony of Jonah is that he gets to see success in God's word, unlike some of the other prophets. And then there's the shock of Elijah. And we look at Elijah and the fire of God. This fire, as he has his moment of triumph, as he has a moment that as he prays, says, Lord, you are turning the people's hearts back to you. Oh, if only it had stuck. But there, when 450 prophets of Baal cried out all day and half the night, seeking to have their God come and bring fire, it did not. But when Elijah offered a bull in the same way, prayed to the one true God, fire came down to show the people of God, of Israel, that God was real, that his power is real, and that his call on their lives to follow him and love him and proclaim him to others was real. Unfortunately, the results didn't last real long. Elijah's soon running for his life, and as we heard in today's Old Testament reading, he feels very isolated, very alone. You might be feeling some of that too. I feel so separated from my fellow Christians. I feel like I'm the only one going through this. You can maybe relate to Elijah. Remember this, friend. God didn't speak to Elijah in the earthquake or in the fire or in the shattering wind that broke the rocks. And he may not even be speaking to us in today's pandemic. But he did speak to Elijah in a still small voice. And he speaks in that voice to you. He speaks through the Son of Jesus Christ asking, what about you? Who do you say I am? Who am I to you? That answer, friends, is so important. And all of the messengers of God have lined up to try to show us what the love of God is like, to point us to Jesus Christ, that we might trust in his grace, trust in the grace he earned for us by his love-filled sacrifice on the cross for you and me. But these messengers of the Old Testament times, they had to try to get that message across. And one of the most shocking ways is through the prophet Hosea. Hosea was asked by God to do something that I don't know if any of us could do. And we pray that God would never ask us to do it. Hosea was commanded by God to find a woman by the name of Gomer and marry her. Now, we might laugh and say, it'd be pretty tough for me to marry a woman named Gomer, and perhaps so. But on top of it, Gomer was a prostitute. That's right. God's holy prophet, God's chosen messenger, marry a prostitute. And not only marry her, but love her. Continue to seek her. When she leaves you, go to her and buy her freedom and tell her that you love her. You see, Hosea, as a messenger by his life, is showing us the heart of God. He shows in those first three chapters of Hosea how much God's heart is after us, even when we seem to chase after other loves. And God is willing to buy us back, even offering that heavy payment of his son and his life upon the cross for us. Hosea shows us that picture, and by his small story gives us a hint of the larger upper story of what God was doing, his salvation work. And that, of course, is what makes up the other chapters of Hosea's book. I recommend it to you highly. It's quite powerful. God is doing that work for us. God, through Hosea, is demonstrating he deeply loved Israel and he deeply loves you and that he wants us back. Back with him in a trusting love relationship. Trusting that what he says to us to guide us, to warn us, it just might be. No, not might. It is the best life possible for us all. When we trust in his love that he would sacrifice so much for us, any sacrifice that God seems to be asking us to do will be seen in its proper light. Friend, is there something God might be asking you to stop doing? Something he wants you to start doing? Someone he wants you to stop spending time with? Or someone he wants you to start spending time with? Is it possible that he wants you to stop listening to certain voices and listen more and listen daily to his voice alone? I had an interesting experience when I went away on vacation. I stopped watching the news, stopped checking in on the case counts and the death counts and the positivity rates and everything else. And it wasn't just because I was relaxing on a beach somewhere. I think it was because I was listening daily to God's voice and not all the voices of doom and gloom that are out in the world or blame and shame. Listening to God's voice of grace and love and welcome and, yes, redirection. God's calling to us. God wants us to be His own. He is calling to you. And He may very well be asking you to give up something. He may be asking you to start something. God may be asking you to listen to His messengers, His message through Jesus, and yes, even be His messenger to those around you. God is still working His upper story process, and He wants to do it. Well, here we go again, another call. I apologize, but let me answer this. Hello? Who? Oh. Yes, I'll tell them. It's God. It's for you. He wants to talk to you. Will you send Him to voicemail? Or will you listen to His message and take it to heart and live it out in your life? By God's grace, may we all do that. Amen.